You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are joined by master goal scorer, legendary twerker.
Oh, yeah.
Kai Kamara of the Colorado Rapids.
That's right. He puts fear in the eyes of goalkeepers and local dancers because he's just so good. That and more tonight on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Okay. What? Yes.
I forgot my neighbors have kids, actually. I shouldn't be doing that. There's a baby that just woke up.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? You just woke up our guest kids as well. So you got real loud.
We were outside like, what the hell was that?
What is our dad doing?
Yeah. But guys, come on. Of course we're excited. Not only is it post our birthday celebration, but this is Cooligans / Living Room FC, baby.
Correct. Yes, we're excited to be here. Yes, welcome to the show. If this happens to be your first time watching the show, where have you been? But my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed.
Yep, heard, seen, whatever. And it's not just the funniest, it also happens to be the gulliest. All right.
Yeah, and this is very much we're embodying gully very much today.
We're like, you know, the dudes who take pictures only like this with like the fist in their hand, that's us. That's the show.
That is
right? That's what we do.
Okay, that was
speaking of gully, by the way. I mean I couldn't think of a gullier guest when it comes to MLS players.
I completely agree. Whether it's scoring goals for fun, and twerking a little bit.
Well, how's my man go from winning the award for the least amount of yellow and reds in a season to then getting in trouble for twerking? How you have both of those in your highlights, my guy? This guy, I mean, trust me, if you're a fan of MLS, odds are he's played for your team, okay? This is absolutely one of the scariest dudes to see if you're a goalkeeper running up on you with a long ball headed towards his forehead. One of our favorite players to watch, even though he hasn't played for our favorite team just yet. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Kai Kamara, everybody.
Kai, what's up, man?
There he is.
Hold on.
Sprinting in.
Yeah, dude. It's a nice,
hello.
WWE entrance.
Not played for PSV yet. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're just wearing all the kids we have to try to switch the show up.
This is my hometown club from Dominican Republic. So if you ever need a sign we need goals too. So that'd be nice to see Bow FC.
You're just wearing your clean clothes, huh? You don't have any more.
Yeah, dude. I mean, laundry is getting to the bottom. I mean, fat guys should never wear checkerboard. I look like a picnic table right now.
thanks for the invite, guys. Really, thank you.
Thank you for saying yes.
Yes, man. Look, Kai, we are huge, huge fans of you. We've been wanting to meet you and talk to you for a long time, but we should at least get the formalities out of the way.
It took you so long. Like,
I don't know,
on?
Man. I don't know.
Honestly, we blame you.
My number is in the yellow pages. Just text me, man. Come on.
What? How are you doing? Obviously, Kai Kamara, the forward for the Colorado Rapids. How are you holding up throughout the quarantine? I know you. I follow you on Instagram. You have a beautiful family. I know that it has to be wild with a bunch of little kids running around. So how are you doing?
Get me out of here. it's just awesome. I was watching these little Instagram things, and this guy is just talking about how great he's doing, but putting these signs up like, my wife is crazy. Get me out. I'm doing great, man. I mean, being a soccer player and being, you know, obviously a pro athlete or somebody that travels a lot, you know, over a career, was always hectic. And then now it's like a blessing to really just be stuck at home and watching these kids grow. You know, I have a 4-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son who will be 3 next week and a 3-month-old. And it's just been a blessing because my wife can take care of the baby, and then the other two just like, you know, bum rush me every minute. But
yeah.
You know, it's tough because I'm obviously like, you know, I'm hitting that old part of soccer, so I want to play. I don't want to take this much time off. Mm-hmm. I want to be out there, but just at the same time, just being quarantined with them, it's just been like a blessing.
I gotta say though, from watching your Instagram stories and just watching you play, you have a very childlike sort of approach to life. So your kids must just be like, so it's us and mom, right? you're just the only kid with a job.
You're the first one that actually looked at me and said, I don't look old, but usually when I say 35 or end in soccer, people are like, yeah, like when are you thinking about hanging your boots? And I'm like, but that's good. No, I'm a child, bro. I put my skates on, my four-wheelers the other day, and I just went with them while they're riding their bikes, and I'm just skating with them at the same time. Like,
yeah, dude.
You know, I definitely want them to just enjoy, you know, with me at the same time and not be like that parent that's like, hey, no, stop doing this, you know, stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. I feel like if your life was a sitcom, one of your kids would be like walking around with spreadsheets and talking about taxes and trying to get you to relax. You know what I mean?
That's my daughter. That's my daughter.
There it is.
She'll be, you know, always trying to like work out, doing these little things. I'm like, no, Karen, you have to do it. Like, she just looked at me, Dad. You know, just give me that. Dad, like, relax. Yeah. Like, it's not that serious, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious about this. Like, on a more serious note, given that you are a player who's played in several MLS clubs, and we've spoken to other players about how just, like, you know, you've been traded or moved and you don't have really a lot of control. I know you probably have as a veteran, you probably have a little bit more control about where you go. But what's it like
you saw a man's eyes open up. He's like, what you been reading?
Right? I wish.
He's like, did someone say control?
How does that affect the family, though, and that dynamic?
Yeah, no, actually, when I first started playing, I used to feel really, really bad for guys with family because one minute, you know, we're, you know, playing a game or at training, and the next minute you just see somebody, you know, come by and shake everybody's hands and say, you know, I'm leaving because it's a trade. And I was just like, wait, what? Like, you have 2-3 kids. Like, how's that going to work? I've been blessed, obviously, just recent, you know, my kids are really not that much older. So the moves hasn't been so difficult. I mean, yes, my daughter does miss 1-2 of her friends, but she does forget them really easily. but I know. But it's crazy because now you have a whole house that you have to move. You know, it's not just an apartment, you know, being, you know, a young boy, single or anything like that. So you're moving a whole house and the kids. But I've been in good places, you know, with my first, when we were in Columbus, was a really good city. Moving to Boston was also, you know, a beautiful place and stuff. And then going to Vancouver, I mean, it just kept going beautiful, beautiful. And then we came here having a third. In Colorado, it's like if there's a place you want to raise, you know, kids, Colorado is like one of them. You know, there's so much land around you, so much green, and, you know, it's good. But it's really, really hard because in MLS, your trades are not, hey, we're working on a trade for you. No, it's, hey, Kai, what are you doing? You want to grab a coffee? Sure. When you hear that means pack your bags. Like, yeah.
Can I just call my travel agent real quick?
before I get to you, like, hey, you want to grab a coffee? I'm like, hey, babe, I have to grab a coffee with the coach. You know what that means. Time to go.
It's like a mafia member being invited to a party. You're like, damn.
I thought I was in his good graces.
I've heard those, you know, a couple of those stories, and obviously it happened to me maybe once. But just hanging out, because I used to have roommates. And he's like, hey, the coach just called me. I got to meet him real quick. I'm like, all right. And he comes back and just like, I'm like, what happened? Oh, I got traded. I'm like, well, he can tell you're on the phone?
All the other roommates are moving gym equipment into his bedroom already. When he gets back, he's like, what happened?
But
measuring the walls?
But
you grew up in, for a short period of time, you grew up in Sierra Leone. Right? West Africa, warm country, right? On the water a little bit. Now, all of a sudden, first place you go is like, I believe you moved to California, right? But you played in cities like Columbus, Vancouver, Colorado. When you got to Houston, were you not like, finally, warm weather? Yeah.
Yes, you say that, but then it's like, I want to breathe. Like, it's hard to breathe, you know? Because I started off in When I moved to LA, I lived there, and then I started playing Columbus cold, and I'm like, okay, this snow, I can't get used to this. It's crazy. You know, San Jose for a little bit. Okay, back to California. Great. Houston. Now it's nice and all this, but it was getting so hot. Like, you spent no time outside. You know, it was train at 8 o'clock in the morning, because by usually the rest of the league trains at 10, but you can't do 10 o'clock because it's already 100 degrees. And then after training, you would just quarantine in your house, you know. So that's where I started working on the quarantine.
you start preparing for it. Yeah, in the humidity of Houston.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere. It's so humid. But the advantage of that was any team that came to town, you can just see it in their face, like, I can't breathe. Like, yeah, you know.
The air is heavy in Houston.
This is an easy win right here, yeah.
I think the air got butter in it in Houston. It's so heavy.
Oh my God.
It just like sits in your lungs. You're like, did I swallow a brick? What happened?
The most memorable game I played in Houston was, I don't know who was thinking about the schedule, who in the MLS did that. But remember playing in Houston in the summertime and playing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And really?
2 o'clock. And obviously we're having these water breaks, but it was like, you know, cause we had to be on television I think it was like a Spanish channel, and that was one of the only times they can put us on, and it was 2 o'clock, and I go, so we were playing this one game. I remember a defender named Jimmy Conrad.
Friend
of the show.
Here am I, you know, I'm just, you know, a young boy just buzzing around, running all over the place, you know. It's hot, I don't care, I'm used to it. And I know Jimmy does not want this, you know, he's playing for Kansas City. I go by him this one time, I feel a little, like, slow down, man. Stop running around so much.
You know what? That's Jimmy, bro.
That's Jimmy been that way even on the field, huh?
He smacked me in the back of the head and, like, slow down. You're running around so much. And I was just like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't laugh or nothing. I just looked at him like...
He's like, yo, you're making me look bad out here, bro.
Chill, young blood. Check this out. We have the soccer wall behind me. Look what I just pulled off. We got your car from 2012. Look at the smile on that young man's face. Huh?
Yeah, I got lucky one of those days too. I scored a goal again, and my mom had a visit from LA to in Kansas, and I was like, "Hi, mom, how's it going?"
And that's the photo they took.
Yeah, so it's when I saw that, I was like, "Wow, I remember that just like, you know, so vividly."
It seems like every photo they take of you, you have a big smile on. Is that just part of your personality? Have you always been like that?
I enjoy this blessing, man. I enjoy this. Dude, I'm from this little town called Kenema in Sierra Leone, about 150,000 people, and I grew up following my older brothers when they played soccer. And when I left after the Civil War and went to the Gambia for a little bit, and then came to America. Everybody was like, oh, you're going to go play soccer, right? You're going to go play. I'm like, no, I'm just going to go join my mom. Yeah. But when I came here and then I'm playing soccer, I'm like, okay, I want to go to college. And then college, I'm going to Cal State Dominguez Hills. They're building Home Depot Center, the Galaxy Stadium. And I'm like, you know what? I want to play there. And then you start going slowly so that when all this journey and all these things just worked out, it's like there's nothing I can do but smile and just be happy about it, because – I didn't really wake up or being in Sierra Leone or playing in academies and thinking, yes, one day I'm going to be a professional soccer player. No, it was just like, as I was going on, I was like, okay, keep pushing. So,
yeah. Your story is like one of the most, inspiring and also like scary too, right? I mean, nobody wants to think of like what, a childhood filled with that much kind of strife, but clearly it inspired you and made you, grateful for what you do have now.
Definitely. It made me so much stronger. The situations, again, moving to, 15 different teams and being positive about it instead of, no offense to some other people, you can move to teams and just crumble and just, that's the end of you. But I look at every team and every place that I've been to that I still have an opportunity to play, still, from this, Kenema, Sierra Leone, and I'm still a professional soccer player. I've seen the worst of the worst in civil war and stuff like this, but what I'm seeing right here, this is still so much better,
Like that's and that's significant because you've moved to so many teams. But the one team I want to bring up that you got a chance to play for was Sierra Leone.
Yes.
How was that? Were you scared? Were you anxious? Were you worried? You know, to come from a place that was in the middle of a civil war, war torn, and you had to move. You went to Gambia first, and then in the U.S. But to play good enough soccer to get a chance to go now represent that country that you had to leave. What was that like? Like, was that something you were fighting for? Did you get a phone call? Did someone from Sierra Leone say, yo, we got to get coffee? And you're like, how the hell am I getting traded from Sierra Leone?
No, not even want coffee, but it's crazy, you know? Like, oh, man. And Christian, did you say you grew up outside of America?
I did. I grew up here, but my family, immigrants from Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Yeah, my family fled Cuba.
Okay. So that's the thing. So when you go back home or you know, you see videos from out there and people playing soccer, it's a lot of street soccer.
Yeah.
So I'm a professional soccer player in 2006 and 7, and I start going to Sierra Leone. And I had to go prove myself in the streets to be able to play for the national team.
Dude, it's like going to like Rucker Park and you got to be like, yo, well, I got to play these dudes now.
That's what it was.
It's like blood sport, like an underground fight.
And it's not grass. It's not turf. It's dirt fields.
Yeah, yeah.
Dirt, gravel, and this. And I started going back and they were like, okay, my brothers would take me to these areas where this is where all the other big players were playing because I never played that much when I was in Sierra Leone. So now I have to play in front of with these players, and there's a lot of fans every day. And so when they start hailing you, and that's when they start considering you for the national team. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening. So the first day I remember I went out there and had my brand new boots, and I'm like, take it out of the box, put my boots on, stepped on the field. By the end of the game, under the booth was gone because it was just like hard ground. And so I had to play in all these different games. And finally, when I came back, it was in 08. Then I got the phone call and it was like, I was like, I can't believe I had to go play all those games before they can consider me to play for the national team.
Yeah, that's wild.
It happens with a lot of like players that grow up or spend a lot of time in the U.S. because then you go back and they're like, who's this gringo trying to like you ain't one of us, and you gotta win them over.
You have to prove yourself. And it goes on even till now. Like, we're there all the time. There's so many players people know, but the thing is, there's no accessibility to be able to watch your games. You know, Sierra Leone got drawn to, well, the rest of the world got drawn to MLS when David Beckham came.
Yeah,
you know, so finally they was like, oh, okay, that's the league that Beckham plays. I was like, yeah, I play there too, but. You know, okay, it's cool.
They're like, you're Beckham? And you're like, a little different. So, yeah.
No, that's great. It's, like I said, it is really inspiring. And it does, we've talked about this a lot, like just about being American and you know, obviously having that appreciation, but like still having that connection to your roots. When I go to Dominican Republic, people, you know, they hear me speak Spanish and they're like, why are you so damn proper? You know, like, they just like, don't buy it, you know?
they called me American back in Sierra Leone. They're like, you're so American, you know.
Yeah.
Well, when my cousins like do like WhatsApp video from Cuba, they're like, we know you're American. You eating too good, bro. You know, you got too much fresh food out there.
Yeah.
We had a question from, so we have the Gully Squad, which is our more like dedicated listeners and viewers of the show. And we got a question from Peter Garcia. He wants to know about your experience with the Sierra Leone national team, but with all the leagues represented in Sierra Leone, like the fact that the players that make it out of there and play all over the world, what is it like playing with players from that play in Iceland or in Oman and things like that?
Yes, it's an all-star team. You know, when you play for your national team, it's an all-star team. And here's a chance. Some people are lucky because then you've played with some of these guys in the youth national teams and make your way up. But, you know, some of us or myself that never had that chance, I'm basically part of an all-star team. Yes, we have players. A lot of our players play in Scandinavia, you know, Sweden, Denmark, you know, like you said, or maybe Iceland, Finland. A couple guys were in Italy. And when you get together with these guys, it just clicks right away. You know, you're all from the same country and speaking the same language. And it's just fun. It's all about that. You know, it's very competitive because then now you're in a position where you know, in your clubs, you're starting, you're playing, and now you're over there. Like I say, it's an all-star team, so everyone's good.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now everybody starts looking at each other like, okay, are you playing? Are you going to play? So, so then it gets to that, you know, and then training starts, and it's like, you know, everyone's going at it and stuff like that. But it's so, so fun when you all can be part of this team and you know, like, for example, during that national anthem, everyone is representing the same country and you guys are all fighting for the same thing. It's something that's completely different from club soccer.
Of course.
That's awesome. We got more with Kai Kamara. We get back after this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I just want to bring you with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you, and maybe even Ali Krieger.
Correct. Yes, Gully Squad has been litter than ever.
It was wild litty. In fact, some of us, people came in and said, hey, we heard you were having a party. You're going to get a ticket because of coronavirus. I said, no. It's just Gully Squad. They said, all right, well, then please continue. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay. And then I tipped my cap to the officer. Gully Squad has been, again, especially during this quarantine, we've spoken about how it is more than just a you know, just getting some extra content. It is becoming a very much a full-fledged community of people sharing ideas, sharing stories of comedy, everything. So and yes, you may have heard recently we did the first Gully Squad happy hour, and that wasn't even us. That was just the Gully Squad members putting that together. Shout out to Peter Garcia, who had the idea initially, and
he wanted to get drunk with other members and let's go, you know.
Yeah,
and let me
yeah.
tell you something. I think it started around what, 6 p.m. It started at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
I logged back in at like 11:30, and it was still happening,
dude. Bro, that's how we do it. Gully Squad, bro.
Gully Squad. It ain't called Softy Squad, my guy.
Okay.
Also, how did you know my nickname in high school?
Yeah, that's the Mr. Softy Truck subscriber service.
Actually, I got it after prom. It was a really, first time drinking whiskey. It was a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I hate that it stuck. I'll be honest. Yeah. No, but if you wanna, yes, the Gully Squad happy hour was unbelievable, and we had a special guest join us, Ali Krieger of the Orlando Pride and the U.S. Women's National Team, two-time World Cup champion, just hopping in Zoom calls.
Hey, with us. Christian, how many other podcast fan group Zoom happy hours do you think two-time World Cup winners be hopping into, or someone on the cover of People magazine?
I can't look. I'm rifling through all my paperwork. You hear right?
Okay.
I'm trying to get through it. I honestly cannot find anything. I have the records.
I'm trying to add it up right now, and you can hear my calculator with the page. With the paper, you can hear it going. Ding. There it is. And look, it says zero. The number is zero, so you can stop rifling through all your paperwork with your what are the printer with the that all the paper was like
court, the
like
dot attached? Matrix. Yes. Dot matrix.
Yes, your dot matrix paper. You can stop looking at it, dude.
No, but I can't let it go. You know,
no, keep it for sure. Keep it because you need the records for 7 years for tax reasons. But I'm saying is you can stop rifling through it for this.
Oh, okay. We'll get through this break then.
Yeah.
Those are some of the things that are possible if you join Gully Squad. There's a lot of fun. Not only is just cool content, but fun surprises like that. And we are actively trying to, you know, make it more than just a, you know, just sending you an extra 20 minutes of a podcast a week or a month or whatever. We're trying to like offer Gully Squad members a genuinely fun experience. Similarly to what we get to have, you know, we're trying to put out something really, really fun and cool. And it's
all the stuff we would have wanted when we were just soccer fans and didn't have a podcast or a TV show.
Totally.
Like, this is what I would have loved to have been hanging out on some, you know, conference call or something like that. You know, and all of a sudden, a two-time World Cup winner just hops on from, you know, her backyard, just hanging out.
Sure, you know, it would have been nice if Ronaldinho would have called from prison.
From prison, yeah. Dude. Imagine we were his only phone call. Yo, how lit is that, dude? He's like, I ain't even trying to get out, dog. I just want to say what was good. I just made this phone call to say what's good.
I don't need to talk to no lawyers. Get the Gully Squad on the phone.
Ew, dog. What are my lawyers going to do? I did this shit. You know?
All right, so please join Gully Squad. Go to soccercooligans.com and hit the join Gully Squad button. I promise you, it is as fun as these breaks. We have a good time with it, and you'll have unique experiences and really cool things, and you'll help the show grow. So please do that. Soccercooligans.com and click on join Gully Squad. All right, we are back with Kai Kamara of the Colorado Rapids. And Kai, this has been a thing that's been on my mind for years. I'm being honest, because a couple of years ago, you did a video about a fine that you received from the league. And again, I'm not trying to rehash anything or get you in trouble. I do not want you losing any more money.
If you do, you pay the fine. So.
Did your time, right? I paid my fine. I'm good. Or we could just say allegedly. At the end of every sentence, if you want.
Well, you did a video highlighting a fine that you received for wearing true socks, or not the socks that you were quote unquote supposed to wear.
I don't know what true socks are. I don't play soccer, obviously. True socks have like those little dots that you always see creep up behind the people's shoes.
So apparently there's a rule, and as far as league, the wardrobe, you're supposed to wear certain things. But you made this video because you were highlighting the fact that there were other players, like basically everybody wears these socks, but you were fined for them. So what made you, one, like maybe we don't understand the fine, so whatever, maybe we can get to that. But what made you make this video and be like, yo, I'm taking a stand right now?
I think when you're a snitch, people don't really hear you say it. So I think the fact that I could say it publicly so nobody can call me a snitch. So
If you snitch to the world, right. You're technically not snitching.
Yeah, you're an activist at that point.
Whistleblower. Great term, right?
It was Don, Kamish, I love you. I promise. I love you. we actually talked about it. We laughed about it. And I was like, I'm not going to fine for this. I was like, no, you didn't cross the line. I was like, okay. No, but it was one of those because I have some kind of toe problem, foot problem. And I started using true socks and true socks again, the dots. And I felt like, you know, my, because I have sweaty feet, TMI, but. Bro. Soccer players, sweaty feet. Right. Because of that, I had toe problems. I know, I had toe problems. And then one day I tried true socks, and week after week after week, and it got better. And I was like, oh, I want to wear this. But then again, at some point, the whole world, most soccer players were wearing it. And then now soccer players, we don't like wearing a full socks anymore. Everybody cuts their socks.
I don't understand this. It's like cut at the ankle and taped up. How is that more comfortable than just wearing a sock?
So because you don't train with the full socks anymore. You train with these socks, or whatever you train with, you want to play with them. So when you train with you know, the low socks, so you want to play. So that's why during the full, you know, game socks, so you just cut them so you can still be comfortable with the socks that you train with. So that's how it is. So now the league had the rule, well, they said they did, about no one exposing or, you know, advertising another brand but Adidas. Yeah. And so that's where I fell in, and I was like, well, these socks are good for me. My doctor says good. Here's a doctor's note. Doctor says, guys,
doctor's
should wear this.
Doctor's exemption. Yeah.
I can't play gym today, doc.
So I bring my note to every game and say, here's my note.
Give it to the ref. Know? Yeah.
But so we kept going, and I kept getting fined, and the fine doubles. Every time they fine you, doubles. Every time they fine you, doubles. So it kept going, and people are like, why don't you just stop wearing it? I was like, no. I know my rights, and I'll fight with my friends.
I remember the speech you gave on the steps of the commissioner's office.
So one day, I don't know, I was bored. I know I got one more fine, and I was like, over the top. I was like, I'm making a video. I'm sending it out there. You guys be my judge. And I did this video, and the one person that wasn't happy with the video was Michael Bradley. Because we played a game. Michael is like, really? You got to put me in the video?
Damn, son. Like, you got to name names?
I was like, Michael, if I put you in the video, that means, you know, I know you can take it. You know, you're the man. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
I grow up an Arsenal fan, so Thierry Henry wearing the socks over the knees was like, whoa, that's like the Jordan with the black shorts sticking out underneath his basketball shorts. It was like, yo, fashion statement. And now everybody wants to wear ankle socks when they play soccer.
No, that's really what it is. But yeah, it's just because you want to play with what you're training with because you're so comfortable with it. But hey, everybody, you know, I'm not saying I fought for you guys, but everybody's wearing True Socks these days, you know?
You blaze the trail.
Yo, yeah. True Socks better use this as a commercial right now.
I know, right?
The best you ad.
Put some respect on our name, too, at the bottom. Are you one of those players that hates the – because I see so many players wearing, like, the baby shin guards. It's, like, barely anything.
People wear cardboards.
All right, okay.
I'm not joking.
Like, you can't snitch on that.
People wear cardboards. No, but people would tell you that's what they wear because if you don't – I mean, kids, wear shin guards at training and games, please.
Yeah.
But when you're older and you don't train with shin guards, it's like saying that you train with these socks so you want to wear them in the game. But you don't train with shin guards at all. So a lot of guys are uncomfortable to have anything else on them. So that's why shin guards got smaller and smaller and even lighter. Remember, I don't even know, maybe the time of Jimmy Conrad's days, they wore the full ankle from ankle all the way up. Like
when I was a kid and I played, I looked like a soldier in Roman times getting geared up.
So now the shin guards have gotten to so small. And actually, I've seen some guys, they have a full shin guards, they'll cut it in half. So you wear one shin guard in both. But yeah.
Aren't they worried? Like, I remember playing a Sunday league, and I got, like, a kick to the shin where I'm like, yo, if I didn't have a shin guard, I would have been real shit.
But they say you train harder than you play. So everybody's looking at it as, you know, at training, if I'm not wearing it, then in the game.
It is very much, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You know, just like when the vice president was walking around without a mask in a hospital and be like, yo, what are you doing? You just told everybody to wear a mask.
Everybody else wear a mask and that would be fine.
That's like when back when we could go outside, you would see like a tourist get on a city bike in New York City without a helmet. I'm like, RIP, my guy, riding a bike in New York City. This ain't Georgia, my dude.
How do we do that, by the way, when they say everybody wear a mask? Like when I go running, so I'm trying to do this May mile run, like 100 miles in May, 100 plus mile, and they say everybody must wear a mask. I can't run with a mask. Like, is that
what's that called? Like a snood, that thing you lift over? Like it looks like a scarf that you pull up over here.
Snood, but it's getting warm out there.
I mean, if you're outside and you're running and away from people, you understand. But if you're going into a hospital, wear a mask.
Yeah,
you know that's not too much to ask.
If anything, you could say that's why I'm running away from you. I have a mask.
And Kai, there you go. The heart hands. We should talk about that because you have a foundation. All right, so it just reminded me. I want to talk about your time with the New England Revolution because there's a great legendary clip of after you scored a goal and you started twerking after and you received a yellow card for bringing joy to the world, which I don't see how that's fair. But
we were waiting for you to make a video of all the other players who've twerked. What inspired this celebration and where did you learn them moves, my guy?
Actually, I'm going to be honest here and say... I was trying to check, see if we were following what was going on around the world or around sports in America. I don't remember the player's name, but there was an NFL player that twerked the week before in the end zone, and he had gotten fined. And I was like, really?
For twerking? Like, that's my thing. I get fined.
I was like, really? For twerking? And I was like, all right, I'm scoring a goal. I got to twerk. Let me just see what, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny. So, I mean, I got lucky, got the goal. And one of my teammates on the sideboard was the best because he was banging on the sideboard like this. And
I was just, work it, girl. Do it.
Fans to make a dance.
And I did. And I'm going back to the middle, but the referee came and gave me a card. But because it wasn't his decision, it was the linesman's decision. So the linesman was just seeing Sports Center too, just like I did.
Yeah.
Because then I asked the ref after the game, I go, hey, You gave me a card. I was just like, what's yellow for? He's like, I don't know. He actually told me to give you a card.
It's like, wait. Talk to my mans over there.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's like. He was laughing. He's like, he told me to give you a card. And I was just like, I just started laughing.
Wow. Don't they write it down? You know when they pull out the thing and they write down what the time, the number, and what for? Do you know what it said?
I should have checked.
God, I would love whatever. I hope that ref still has it. That sportsman really I want on this wall. I just wanted to say, like, minute 32, Kai Kamara twerking.
At least you know who was the hater. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
The linesman must have been like, you know, I'm more of a fan of the Dougie. So, like, yeah.
I don't mind dances, but you can't make them clap during in the 90 minutes.
No, but serious, because when I was looking back, you know, again, Steven Lenhardt was one of the most, you know, just energetic players in the league, you know, playing. And when he was playing for San Jose, scores goals, you know, he would hang on the crossbar.
Yeah, he was a wild man.
And I remember the one time, too, when he was, like, you know, doing his little, like, it's just awesome. But that scoring goal is not easy. So when you do, to me, it's just make it memorable, you know. The goal could be memorable, but your celebration, you know, some people have. Alan Scherr has this, you know, Robbie King have the little tumble, fumble, whatever So yeah, you just got to make it fun.
And then, and this was cool, just a couple of days ago, Fubo had put out a tweet of when I was twerking on the show with the...
I don't know I came across it that I saw that.
What you searching for, Kai?
Shout out to the Soccer Minute, which who tagged you, and they posted the video of you twerking, and they were like, Kai, let me get your thoughts. And you had the great response that genuinely made me laugh so hard, because you were like, oh, he needs more pop.
Yeah, you need to, you know, you were just rolling. You didn't really have
it's tough with the ball on your neck. It was, you know, I don't have
a lot of excuses.
I don't got
a lot
that
of
much,
excuses,
that much booty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. you just got to pop. It's got to be in the hips, you know? It's got to
man. You know what would have been fun instead of being shown a yellow card if he would have just started raining yellow cards on it? You know what I mean? We would have been like, hey.
If you made it rain yellow, it would have been a red. That would have been gone.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, two of those are you out. Yeah.
It was just great. I mean, yeah, Boston was good. I mean, that stadium again. Yeah, that's awesome. Actually, I twerked in that stadium. That's where the Patriots play. That's legendary.
But, we actually have a question from Jess Howen, who's, I guess, she also reports on the Colorado Rapids, which is dope. So you'll meet her soon. She want to know. Speaking of Boston, what did you think of playing in the coldest game in MLS history last season? Obviously, twerking then would have been good to just build up some of the heat in the body. But what does that feel like? The coldest game in MLS history.
Yeah. Well, who was the game against? I forgot.
Portland.
Portland, yes.
Yeah, it was against Portland. I don't even know why we played. Like, why didn't they just call off the game? You know, I have these little dreadlocks, and seriously, when I pulled on one of them, it broke. You know?
Oh my god!
Yeah, I decided not to pull anymore, or even like shake my head because
I like my hair.
I would have lost them all. It was definitely one of those, because I remember a little while back when the U.S. played Mexico here in Colorado, and there was this, you know. The great snow game and all
the
that.
The snow classico, as they called it.
Yes, and then finally we were there. We didn't really have that much snow, but man, it was cold. And you're trying to like give your teammates instructions. Your face is frozen.
Everything, your jaw muscles ain't even working.
Yeah.
You know,
and it was just, you can't even be angry at your midfielders properly for not giving you the ball in the right place.
You can't. And it was crazy. But then we were down the man, and you know, to come back and tie the game. So it was like a World Cup. We were celebrating like we won something. It was just like, yeah, we're celebrating now.
Yeah, hot chocolate. That's what you're
exactly. We're all going in the hot tub, you know, everyone. So yeah,
it's weird because in general, at least in New York, when it gets super super cold, where it's like just you don't even want to be outside. It's usually not snowing. So when I was like watching, I was watching this game on TV, and I'm like, how cold is it really? It's snow. When it's snow, it's not that cold. You know.
The following 2 weeks later, we had another game, and they were so scared that it's going to be the same. Like, we had to postpone the game. And it wasn't even that cold that day. It was just like, oh, it's going to be freezing. So that game, we have to cancel it. And the day came and we're like, we looked outside. We're like, oh, it's not even that cold because we just had the coldest, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
What and about speaking of, oh, okay, go ahead.
I think we're going to ask the same thing.
I was going to say, speaking of cold, here's another question that we have. I can't remember who asked, speaking of cold, you seem like a fun guy. I want to know, one, do you know how to speak Spanish? And two, did you use it when you had that little bit of a run-in with Higuain on the penalty kick?
Sí, español. Poco, mucho. Oh, the famous penalty kick. I speak soccer Spanish.
All right.
You know, tiempo rápido, you know. But I understand Spanish. I understand, you know, I grew up in L.A. for sure, so I understand, you know, when you're speaking Spanish. But if it's anything soccer, you're saying it, then I get it. I understand that one for sure. Did I speak Spanish? No, I didn't. That's I did. I was just like, this ball is mine. You know, give me the ball. But, you know, people is a good guy. And it's amazing how some of these guys come to America and they pick up English so quick than us, you know, trying to, like, you know, learn Spanish so we can, you know, actually bond with them, you know. So, people is just, I mean, was in Columbus for a while and, you know, his English was good. You know, he's a bit shy, but his English was good. His English was definitely good to ask me to give him the ball. So.
the question came from Nick Leishman, by the way. So thank you for the great question about Pipa. I did want
mucho,
to
ask... Muchas gracias, Nick.
We had another question from one of I call his squad members, Jacob Denton. He says, "Who has been your favorite goalkeeper to score on?
Ooh.
Anybody you got a little rivalry with? Because you scored on a lot of
the first goalkeeper. Name that popped to my mind right when he said that was just Timmy Howard.
Oh, all right,
okay.
It's only one goal ever, but that's in the Premier League, and it's Everton that you know he." He's a legend over there. Mm-hmm. And here was another American kid going into England playing, and the only ever goal I scored in England ended up being against another American, Timmy. So, sorry, Tim. But
so,
Tim, for letting it pass. So, you know, he was like, I can't do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm an Everton fan because of Tim Howard, so I cannot forgive you for that, Kai.
But, and Tim is from Jersey, which is where I'm born and raised in Newark, so I know exactly what he was thinking. He's like, all right, now this dude owes me one.
No, but it was amazing, actually, to play with him here. Well, I actually scored two goals against him. Holy. Yeah, I scored an own goal.
Hey, that counts, bro.
Put it on the tally.
I scored another header at home, and it was better than the one in England. I got up, and it's one of those where I'm up there, and I'm like, oh, no, you just had that feeling. I was like, it's in my head. It's going in. Like, sorry, Tim.
I'm curious. Let's talk about your time in England. Obviously, that was a huge move, and you played for Norwich and
Middlesbrough.
Yeah. What was your experience there like? I know you didn't spend too much time there, but how would you recap that time there?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was when I got the phone call. I was at preseason with Kansas City when I got the phone call saying, hey, Norwich looking for a striker. Would you like to go on loan?
Instead of coffee, where they're like, we need to get some champagne.
I was like, wait, what? They were like, Norwich in England, in the Premier League. I was like, what, you have to ask me? I was like, yes. You know, my groin hurts, but I'm going to limp my way into Norwich City and I'll play these games. And so, yes, it was amazing. It was seriously the most beautiful thing. It's just like, again, here's, you know, young boy waking up in college and watching Premier League every morning and this, and then finally you wake up in the Premier League and, you know, you're playing at Old Trafford, you're playing at the Emirates, you're playing at, you know, at Stadium Lights. And I was just like, this is crazy. So I loved it. I enjoyed it. And that's why when I did come back from the loan and I wanted to go back to England, I said, I definitely want to return back to England and play over there. But at this second time around, ended up being Middlesbrough, which was in the Championship. So I had the, you know, taste of both worlds in England, the Premiership, which is amazing, Championship being named as one of the most difficult and hardest leagues in the world. And that's really where it was, because I got hit sometimes and I looked around like, where is the ref? I couldn't see a ref.
Yeah.
You know, so it was it was like that. It was really, you know, tough. But you know, it was great.
If they don't see anybody twerking, they're not gonna give a yellow. No.
Yeah. No.
That's the biggest offense.
You guys remember a player, Joey Barton?
Yeah, of course.
Joey, crazy Joey. Even me and Joey got into it one game too. We look, because you know, he's a bad boy, you know, that's his rap. You got to keep it a bad boy. And I looked him straight in the eye. I was like, you don't know where I'm from, huh? You don't know me, huh? Yeah. I gave him that stare, like, look, that I can just see him crumble. I was like, yes, I just won that battle. I can't believe I just won that battle.
At the end of the game, you're like, I can't believe that worked.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm taller. He's this, and he's the tough guy. He's, like, coming up. And I just looked at him. I didn't even say much. I just, like, and I can just feel him just, like, shrink. I was like, yes, that worked. Say less, kids. Say less.
Do more.
Hell yeah. I wish I would have prepared myself more for it. So, you know, for younger players, you know, that's going overseas to play, I wish they can know more about where you're going. Because, again, me, it was just on this hype that I just wanted to go to England and play and not really knowing the culture and, you know, the emphasis. I knew a little bit, but it means something out there. Promotion, relegation, these things, like, it means a lot.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, me doing my fun stuff on social media and this and that. I remember a quick story. I played at Middlesbrough. I went to watch Josie play at Sunderland. I don't know the history of Sunderland and Middlesbrough, but it's these, you know, Sunderland, Newcastle, Middlesbrough all there. It's a big rivalry. I go watch Josie play. He gives me tickets. I'm sitting behind the bench. I'm tweeting. I'm at Josie's game, putting pictures. I get home. My Twitter was flooded with just messages of just like bad and this, like, why would you do that? You know, you play for us. Why are you going to talk about Sunderland? This, this. And I don't know. I didn't know like the history of it until I watched the documentary on Sunderland.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh wow, so that's what I was doing. Yes, I was it's all your fault, you know. So yeah, so it's good.
Put Josie on blast with the Sox, and now this, I like it.
We go way back. We got drafted in 2006 together, so you know we go way back.
Yeah. Kai, we've been talking about so much about your career. Just a question. This is just for me, just something I'm interested in. Whether it's MLS or your time with Middlesbrough, Norwich, or even on the national team for Sierra Leone, is there one jersey that you've swapped that like stands out to you, like something that like you just think about all the time, something you really, really wanted?
Ooh, one jersey. To pick one jersey is really hard. Well, I would say Ryan Giggs. Because it was great. This was a turnover of soccer in Kansas City, you know, where Kansas City Wizards play Manchester United and we beat them.
Right.
And Ryan Giggs has a Sierra Leone background, actually. His grandparents are from Sierra Leone. So, yeah, so we spoke about Sierra Leone before the game. And
this is Ryan Giggs from Manchester United?
Yes. Ryan Giggs from Manchester United is part black. You didn't know that.
I did not. Look at
all that curly hair in his chest, you know.
You know what? Him running past Patrick Vieira and scoring a goal feels a lot less hurtful now.
So that's good. But I really have cherished the people that I've played in MLS with, that we came in together in 2006 and still, you know, stand in. Like one of my good friends who was my best man, Dominic Oduro, you know, so... You know, did so well and played a lot of games, scored some fun goals. And, you know, we always compete in hairstyles and stuff like that.
So
some of those jerseys are good. But then again, the best U.S. player, to my opinion, Landon Donovan, that's also a jersey that I really cherish.
All right.
That's dope.
And also, you did mention Heart Hands Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what's going on?
Yes, Heart Shaped Hands, baby. Heart Shaped Hands Foundation. You know, my foundation that I launched in 2012, and I was giving out scholarships to kids back
in this year.
Yeah, 2012. I've been giving out scholarships in Sierra Leone. And over the years, but thankful to the new government now, there's free education in the country. So Heart Shaped Hands Foundation is working on a bigger project that I'm so proud of, and I can't wait to, you know, put everything together and so we can launch it and get some support from people. But it's something, obviously, to do with education and to do with soccer, and it will be, you know, for people in Sierra Leone.
That's okay. Dope. When that launches, you got to come back on and talk about
it. Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, we did it.
We did it, baby.
Another one in the books with Kai Kamara of the Colorado
Rapids. That's a goal, right?
Yeah, of course. This is our 100th goal, so we want a plaque like you behind. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my agent sent me that. It's been really good. Yeah.
It's beautiful. All right. What a flex.
All the money he makes from me. That's all he sent me. It's a plaque.
Yeah. No. But Kai, thank you so much for joining us on the show, man. This went exactly how I thought it would. You are a great dude, a great personality, and an absolute baller.
And a fly jacket. I mean, you got it all. I thought I was going to wear the loudest thing on this show today. I forgot who we were dealing with.
We didn't even get to that, but the fits for Kai Kamara are unbelievable, man. Yeah. We got to give you props.
Where can everyone follow? Tell your Instagram.
You,
I mean, this
enjoy
is
it. Yeah, my Instagram 2K3. You gotta enjoy it, you know. And obviously, I'm on Twitter too. Just Kai Kamara, but 2K3. I have not figured out this TikTok thing. I told all of Alfonso Davis to run me a lesson.
He's killing it.
And he's telling me, hold on. Like, kid's big time on me now. I can't believe it.
But, yeah. You got to see, have you seen Robert Lewandowski's? He has a really bad one.
Really? Or like the whoa, no. Oh, God, it hurt to watch.
No, but thank you guys, man. Seriously, this has been fun. Like, this is different, you know, and I like that. I like different. So thank you.
No doubt, bro. Thank you so much. You're welcome back anytime. So let's wrap up the show the way we normally do. So for Kai Kamara, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Yes!
Yes.
Perfect, brother.
Hell yeah.
I love that.